Welcome to WMUK, Mr. Kitchens.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You're a Texan, is that correct?
I am both a Missourian and a Texan. So I grew up and was raised in the Ozark Mountains on the Missouri-Arkansas line, a little town of Ozark, Missouri, that was very rural when I grew up. Population's grown and it's far more urban now. But then I came here from Texas, and my daughter goes to school at SMU Southern Methodist University in Dallas. So if I had three legs, they wanted to be in Michigan, wanted to be in Texas, and wanted to be in Missouri.
So when you got to Texas, were you an adult at that time?
I went there for a job. So I was the CEO of an economic development group in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Southwest Michigan First was started in 1999, and I believe you're only the second person to head the organization. Is that correct?
I am. My predecessor was here for 4 years or so, and in what was the crash of the economy, and so he worked through the announcements by Pfizer and paper mill closings and all those things that happened to us, and then I was brought in to kind of lead us out of that and focus on both growing the jobs and companies in the region, but also growing now leadership and capacity of the region.
What year precisely did you come here?
So I've been here 11 years now. So I'm in my 12th year officially.
I think a lot of people have heard of the organization. They may be less familiar with maybe all that it has done, and it has. And I think it's also kind of morphed over time.
We have.
Maybe if we could start with, in a nutshell, what was its purpose originally? You talked about your predecessor was dealing with paper mill closings and Pfizer taking over and those types of things. Tell me, what was the purpose at that time for forming the organization, and where is it today?
So Southwest Michigan First was formed as one of, if not the very first, private economic development corporation in the country. A group of business leaders got together and said, government is shrinking in their capacity for funding with the downturn in the economy. You have to remember then, Michigan was in a one-state recession, and Kalamazoo led the state into that recession. You know, we saw 6 paper mills close. We saw Pharmacia buy Upjohn and then merge with Pfizer and then become exclusively Pfizer. We saw the loss of research in the community. Just prior to that, the GM stamping plant had closed. It was sitting vacant. And at that point, no plant had ever turned around and been reutilized. So a group of business leaders, 14 leaders, got together and said, we have to step up. Through philanthropy, we've got to change the focus of the community. We've got to make sure we stay relevant. So we were formed. We, under the belief that the greatest force for change is a job, we want to give people, individuals, economic capacity and economic prosperity to take care of their families, to take care of their future, to have and own their own futures. So we began focusing a lot on retaining life science talent, and so working to do startup companies and build out the Southwest Michigan Innovation Center, which we've just recently merged into the Western Michigan University Homer Stryker School of Medicine. We partnered with the university on the creation of the BTR, the Business Technology Research Park. We partnered with Kalamazoo Valley Community College on the creation of the M-Tech Center, and all around retaining capacity and building companies into the future so that individuals had jobs. When it comes down to it, we believe in the power of the individual. And if you put money in their pocket, they'll make the right decisions for their lives. They'll support their children. They'll be able to, buy a home and do all those things that are part of the American dream. But it all starts with a good job. We focused on that the entire life of the organization. But we've also focused on attracting new companies to the community. So we'll annually now, we will make somewhere between 250 and 300 calls a year, working with people outside of the community to grow and expand jobs here. We work with existing companies to grow. So we'll somewhere around 800 one-on-one meetings with existing companies on growing jobs. And we're seeing those things pay off. We're seeing it grow. You know, we're, you know, when we look at Michigan, we have one of the lowest unemployment rates, particularly in this county. We have expanded our focus on the 7 counties of Southwest Michigan because we know that where people work and live are not in the same neighborhoods in most cases. So if we want to grow capacity, we've got to focus on a larger geographic area. So we do that. And then we also focus a lot on leadership because we know that when we look back, when the downturn came, companies simply couldn't afford to send people away to develop leaders. But we also know we lost a lot of leaders. We lost a lot of families that had to move because of the downturn. So we've built out a program to create and develop leaders from really that kind of mid-college point to lifelong leadership development. And so that's been a great emphasis of ours and continues to be.
You actually touched on a whole bunch of topics. No, that's good. So I'm going to try to tackle some of those kind of one at a time. You were talking about leadership development, and you have a couple of things that you have introduced over the years, among them being Catalyst University. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we believe that if we just focus on business, we could be prosperous, but we could never be a great community. Great communities focus on business and philanthropy, education, local government, and faith-based communities. And so we've got to have all those people work together because what we find is the leadership skills required are all the same. People think that their business and area of focus is unique to them. In a lot of cases, it is, but the skills you need as a leader are the same. The communication skills, the knowledge you need, the ability to focus on that human capacity. So that's why we look a little different than lots of organizations in that we believe in the power of the individual. We also believe in the collective. So Catalyst University is about bringing together those groups to spend a day, and it's now about a day and a half, really, of bringing in the best thought leaders. It's a diverse group, so we have everything from this year we have a couple of social entrepreneurs. We have a homeless advocate who's coming in to talk about what those issues look like and what really is going on. We've got business and leadership thought leaders coming in to talk to us. We've got young, old, diversity, because if we just bring in, you know, kind of the national named speakers, if they don't look and feel like our audience, then it's really hard to own that. So it's important to us that we have a diversity of age and a diversity of gender and a diversity of ethnicity, because it needs to speak to everybody. We also know that we have to get smaller and small groups of leaders. So we have a couple of programs that are really important. Leadership Kalamazoo, which we're lucky to administer. You know, it's a long program, 4 decades now. And that's about, again, bringing together a diversity of people. So the majority come from business, not-for-profit, and local government. In that program, it's a year-long program, 9 months, where they're meeting all day, one day a month, and learning about the community, learning about best practices, but learning about themselves and their leadership styles and what it means to be in the front of the room and have followers and what your responsibilities are as a leader. One of the programs I love that we do is called First 50. So it marries 25 emerging leaders with 25 existing leaders. And we're very careful to not say young and old, because we have existing leaders who are 30 years old, who are just killing it. They are doing great jobs. And we have 50-year-olds who've never had the opportunity to lead, and they need that development. So we pair them together. It's a mentoring program where they spend a year together mentoring, learning from each other. And they are just doing incredible things to lift up our community. And then we have a number of kind of speaker series where we're bringing in thought leaders. Because at the pace of change we have, globally, our greatest resource is the people in this region. We don't harvest trees. We don't drill for oil. We don't sell water. We are a place that produces people. 55,000 college students, you know, in the region. This is a place that produces amazing folks. And if we don't keep them here, grow them, and attract them, and, you know, clearly the data tells us millennials, the number one thing they want out of an employer is a mentoring relationship. They want to be lifted up. They want opportunities to lead. And so for us, this is about what are we going to do to make sure the next generation is prepared to lead while the existing generation takes us to places we couldn't imagine.
When was it that your organization started to have this more leadership focus? When did the Catalyst University start?
So we're in our sixth year of it. So it took about a year to plan. So 7 years ago, it became really obvious. So our board of directors at that point was still the same kind of 14 individuals that founded the organization. And Bill Johnston was chairman of the board at the time. And Bill and I had a conversation about what are we going to do next? How do we make sure that this board is represented by the next generation of leaders? And what came out of that was a focus on the board of directors. Currently, is it 60?
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that.
It's bigger than the Michigan Senate, I think. And we're actually going to get close to 70 this year. I've just seen the nominating and governance committee's recommendations. And to get younger, more diverse, represent the entire region, it means we've got to get large before we can get small. And we've got to become inclusive. It's got to be a big tent. But we've also got to make sure that we're lifting up the best. You know, we have a good, not great, but a good internship program that's focused on not just jobs for college students. That's easy. When you're at 3.7% unemployment, jobs for college students are easy. But making sure that we're putting them in places that is sticky and they want to stay in the community, that's the hard part. And that was really what our leadership program is about, creating that place that people won't leave.
There's a part on your website that helps, link interested interns with employers? Is that
yes,
what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
So they don't just only work at your organization.
No, they work. We want to marry them with employers because we hear from employers. We don't know how to get to college students. We hear from college students, I'd love to stay in the community, but I don't know anybody after graduation, so I'm going to move where my old roommate is because they have a job. We want to create this sticky program. We have a great internship program called the Monroe Brown internships that provide scholarships and wages, and we do a great job with that, but that's 40 students a year. And we know that with 55,000 college students in this region, we've got a whole lot of opportunity to retain those folks, and that's our future. That's our seed corn. That's what's going to sustain us in the future, is the amazing young people. And I love millennials. I've written about it. I've talked about it. The passion they have for social change, commitment to community. And that's defining community differently than people my age. And I'm in my early 50s. I'm going to claim early 50s till I can't anymore. But in my early 50s, the way we define community was regulated. So that was, you know, a school district or a town or big things. We might call our church community. Millennials today, community could be 6 or 7 people and 4 of them could be online. And they're sharing ideas and building capacity. And we so want to lift them up because they're making real change and they're passionate, but you have to invest in them and you have to pour in because they also are not willing to sit around and do nothing. They want to be part of the change in the world. And I just find that so refreshing and exciting.
Speaking of investing in people, a little bit later, I'd like to talk more about your expanded regional approach. But for now, I'd like to just dwell a little bit longer in terms of your leadership development. If you could talk really quickly about your introduction of podcasts and blogs dealing with leadership.
communications is one of those things, as you well know, that has so changed in the last few years and become so small D democratic. I mean, anybody with an iPhone can have a podcast these days, and you can blog on ideas. We've really taken the belief, and with the full blessing of our board of directors, that we want to be the teaching hospital version of an economic development corporation. We know that the best hospitals in the world are teaching hospitals because they're doing research, they're bringing in the best minds, they're challenging each other in their academic pursuits. And in the economic development world, nobody was really doing that. And so we want to make sure this community has access to the very best of knowledge and capacity building. So we've challenged ourselves. And the way we can do that is through bringing new ideas forward through podcasts. And so we've got two podcasts now that we do, the Always Forward, which is about leadership and community growth and best practices. And then we have one called From the Ground Up, which we weekly recognize the 50 best economic developers in America. And that seems like a strange thing that we would feature other economic developers, but we're using them as our teachers. We're interviewing them about what their best practices are. What are you doing to engage your community? What are you doing to be more successful in your sales practices? What are those things? And so we're gaining from that. And the light of our candle never dulls because we light somebody else's candle. In fact, the light gets twice as bright in the room. So we know by lifting them up. So, and then the blog for me is to make sure I stay fresh. I can't control how my body ages. I can work out and I can eat right. But I absolutely, and we as leaders have a responsibility to make sure we control how our mind is refreshed. We have the capacity to learn and bring new things and teach. And so I'm very lucky and blessed that I get to every day work with the most amazing team of leaders. And I get to work with incredible companies, incredible agents of change in the community. So I owe it to them and owe it to myself to make sure we're always learning and we want to share what we're learning, because I want to be a great teacher, because great teachers build great communities.
Lest people think that your organization only deals right here in Michigan, is there not some type of, I believe, some type of leadership thing that mm-hmm. you do external to here on a global basis? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we have a group called Consultant Connect, and or C2 Consulting, as it has morphed to. And we currently have 108 communities, economic development groups, local governments, a couple of state governments, and even a couple of countries that we work with, both in helping them on their journey of excellence. So we've been recognized, I guess the last 6 years, as one of the best places to work in America, and by the group that does 101 Best Places. For 7 years, we've been one of the best places in Michigan. A few years ago, we were named the best place in Michigan and the best place in America to work. And so we believe, as part of our teaching hospital model, that we have to share what those best practices are. It helps us change our best every day, because we realize if we're great today, probably means 3 or 4 years from now, we'll be average because everybody else will lift up. So by sharing that and teaching that, we also had a lot of groups who were coming here to study us. And it got to the point that we didn't have enough capacity to have everyone here. So we began to do consulting. All of these organizations pay for services. They pay us to introduce them to new ideas, to train and develop. And then all of that is used to support and subsidize the not-for-profit mission in this region.
Don't you have something called a summit that you do globally?
We do. We're in Atlanta in 2 weeks.
Is this an annual thing?
It's an annual event.
Invitation only, is that
correct? It's invitation only. We actually have two events around that. So we have one that'll have about 150 different organizations there, where we're introducing them to the thought leaders on corporate real estate locations, site consultants, their own leadership, building them. Part of it is that we're always looking to hire amazing folks. So we want to be in the room with them, and we want to target who's amazing that we can either bring to our own organization or recruit into the region. And then we also have a program called Next, where we're focusing on leaders under the age of 40 who are the next, going to the next level of their leadership and organization, where we're lifting them up. We've partnered with a large headhunter group that focuses on economic development. And then one of my closest friends in the economic development world, a gentleman named Gray Swope, who has just left as the head of economic development for the state of Florida. And we're pouring into them, one, because we want to lift up leaders, but two, because we want to know who the best talent is so we can bring them either to our own community or bring them to our partners, and know that we're going to serve this community best. So those are that. And then we run about a dozen other events around the country that are smaller, 12 to 15 leaders, where we can, again, lift them up, build capacity, but challenge ourselves. Like that best teacher you ever had in high school or college who's always learning and teaching you new things, that's what we have to challenge ourselves to, or we'll finally, you know, we'll find ourselves to be irrelevant. And for not getting better every day, you know, we're slowly getting worse.
This is a tall order. How many people on staff do you have? About 16?
16, yeah. I was trying to remember if it was 16 or 17. It's 16.
So this is a lot that you do with 16 people. In terms of funding, how do you finance yourself?
So about 50% of our budget comes from philanthropy. There's about 150 companies, foundations, and individuals who contribute to the organization, and that's about half the budget, and the other half the budget is earned. So it's fees that we charge either for our leadership functions or outside of the community. And of the fees, about 50% is paid for out of state and about 50% in state for things like Leadership Kalamazoo and Catalyst University.
A couple of things that I think people might want to appreciate about Southwest Michigan First. You were talking about how you tried to serve about seven counties now.
Yes.
Initially, it was smaller than that. It was kind of, what, northern St. Joseph County, maybe Van Buren, and all of Kalamazoo County. Now it's,
yeah, it was really Three Rivers, Mattawan, right, and Kalamazoo County.
But it's really vastly expanded as you begin to think about really trying to be effective with economic development. I should also say that in 2011, when Governor Snyder was elected, he put your organization kind of front and center in terms of reinvigorating job growth in Michigan. So not just here in this region, but being the lead organization working with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. In fact, you're doing that work on contract with any number of municipalities, including in the Marshall area, the Marshall Area Economic Development Alliance, the city of Kalamazoo, just a whole lot of places. There's a quote I wanted to read to you that was in MLive. You said it in 2012 that kind of talks about this approach. What we know is that if we work together, we can grow our population, our average household income, and we can see more jobs here and focus on being the pilot project for change. If we stay isolated, the status quo will reign, and we cannot afford that.
That's correct. Kalamazoo is a great area. It's a great region. It's a great place. But we're simply not big enough and don't have enough resources that we can ever afford to become isolated. We need the, rather than the power of, you know, 350,000 people in the county, we can bring the power of 800,000 people in the region together. Rather than the power of a few companies, I mean, Pfizer and Stryker, you know, are incredible companies with incredible capacity. But when you add them with the Kellogg Company and add them with Whirlpool and you add them with this amalgamation of influence, and then you look at the great philanthropy going on in this region, none of us have enough to be isolated, but together we're a formidable place, capacity, people that can serve each other. And it if we ever had the capacity to be isolated and be successful, we don't now and we will not in the future. And so this is, I get a little preachy on social engagement, but we can't afford to waste any resources, not human resources, not academic resources, not financial resources. And the best way we can succeed is to by sharing. And that we believe that, and we're seeing those results. We're seeing this region lead the state, and in a lot of cases lead the nation. Our unemployment rate is far lower than the state and far lower than the nation, and that hasn't always been true. And I think it's because of this strategy around regional collaboration.
In terms of regional collaboration, you've actually expanded the size of your board such that actually having representation from some of these various areas. I think your board used to be, about 15 members? Now you say it's up to 60 and moving up to maybe 70.
Close to 70.
Such that you can have the voices from all different parts of the region. What counties are you now including? Obviously, St. Joe, Van Buren, and Kalamazoo County. Are you also now counting Allegan?
Not Allegan, Calhoun. So we go from Coldwater to Sturgis to Benton Harbor, St. Joe, across Van Buren County, Kalamazoo to Battle Creek. And so those areas may have some capacity. For instance, Battle Creek Unlimited folks do a great job, but they only operate in the city of Battle Creek. The MATA, Marshall Area Economic Development, where they were in flux, we were able to put our team in, get them going. We've built out their staff. They're now managing their day-to-day operations, but we can help augment them. And we can also call on the underserved. There's a lot of companies that are not in city limits that those that are governmental don't have the capacity to work with. We don't care about where boundaries are. We care about men and women who get jobs. And we know to do that, we've got to work with companies and help them hire folks. We have to work with educators to make sure that we're pouring into people so they have the skills, the knowledge, and the capacity to take those jobs. And we've got to work with local government to make sure that we've got a tax rate and capacity and infrastructure to serve both of those groups so that ultimately men and women have got, money in their pocket. And this isn't theory for me. I grew up in abject poverty. My father was 15 years older than me. My mother was 14 years older. Neither of my parents finished the eighth grade. I know what lack of opportunity looks like. I know what it feels like to have to move because you don't have the money for the rent. I know what it feels like when your mom and my father passed away when I was four. He was killed in an industrial accident because he shared the same dyslexia that I have. It was just never diagnosed. And so he couldn't read the sign that said, don't do this. And it cost him his life. I know what that feels like. I know what people are going through. And I can't go to sleep at night without thinking of our responsibility to change the lives of as many people as we can. And that's going to happen by putting money in their pocket and giving them hope. And parent that has a job and has hope and opportunity means there's a child that goes to school with food in their belly in the morning. It means there's a parent who can volunteer at church or Little League baseball. It means that lawns get taken care of because there's a pride in your family and your neighborhood. That means that you get active in your community because you're not having to work three jobs at minimum wage. So that's what this is about. It's not about business for the sake of business, although I love business and I love the change they have in people's lives. It's not about philanthropy just to give away things. It's not about education because it's popular to say we got to do it with the kids. It's about changing the lives of families and giving them opportunities to take care of themselves and economic decision making. So I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about this.
In order to provide jobs that you're talking about, you have to have strong existing employers and bringing new employers. And that's kind of the crux of what your organization does. If you had to say in a sentence what Southwest Michigan First does, what is that?
We are Miracle-Gro for companies, individuals, and communities.
All right, then. I've read on your website a privately funded consulting firm. I've privately funded economic developers. Does that resonate with you?
It is. And the whole idea is that we're not beholden to government. We're not beholden to any kind of special interest groups. We are beholden to the mission of lifting up people so they can fill jobs, so they can live out their destiny and achieve that American dream, if you will. And so that's the reason the private is important, and it's the reason that we focus on those kind of three, really four buckets of, you know, companies. For if you don't have companies, you don't have jobs. Making sure that government runs efficiently, making sure that education is producing amazing people, and then building up leaders so that we can continue that cycle and more people have ownership in the future as opposed to the hands of a few, or feeling like, you know, and I grew up feeling this way, of feeling like you didn't have any control of your own future. And so if you don't feel like you have control, you don't feel like you have ownership, if you don't have feeling of ownership, you know, nobody ever washed a rental car. You know, if you don't feel that you own that car, you don't wash it. So we have to make sure that people don't treat community and their lives like a rental car. They're treating it like owners. And that's part of what our responsibility is to give them that sense of ownership.
I like that word that you used when I asked you to describe Southwest Michigan First. You said it's Miracle-Gro. I'd like to sit there for a minute.
I used to say fertilizer, but people took that wrong, so I say Miracle-Gro.
I find that probably an apropos word, and here's why. Let's say the everyday person out on the street, if you ask them, what does Southwest Michigan First do, they may not know. I know that one of the things you deal with is working with site selectors, people who are about the business of trying to find sites for businesses. That's a lot of unseen work.
Yes.
When you are working with those people. So it is kind of like Miracle-Gro and voila, here are the people. So if you were to say to an everyday person who doesn't quite understand all that your organization does, at the end of the day, there is an output. What is it about Southwest Michigan that is different as a direct result of the hand of this organization?
So success has many fathers. So when we talk about success, we know that it takes lots of people. But when we look at this region, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, and I'm sure people will tweet me or you know, email me that I got the number wrong, but we're about 37,000 net new jobs today than we had 5 years ago. Our family incomes are up since 2012 by 9%. That's 9% more money in families' pockets in a nation that was pretty much flat during that time period. We know that great things in the community, and we're producing amazing leaders. So, you know, we can look at leaders that have come from our organization that are now leading at other groups in the community. And that's part of our plan, is we want to lift people up. So Tim Tarantine, you know, the new head of the Western Michigan University Foundation. Tim was on our team for 5 years. Vaughn Washington from the Kalamazoo Promise came through our team. Jim Roby, who's leading at the Upjohn Institute's economic development, local economic development strategy. Jim came from our team. The head of the economic development group in Holland came from our team, the Lakeshore Advantage Group. We continue to build out capacity of organizations, and there's a number of mid-tier leaders that we want to lift up people so that we can grow community. We know that we average about 6,000 leaders a year who come through some kind of training with us, who are building and growing their own organizations. We know that we've had almost 100 startup companies that we worked with, and we haven't talked a lot about that. But
over the last 12 years. And are you suggesting that those 30,000 jobs in the last 5 years had something to do with the work of your organization?
We've worked with most or a lot of those companies, and whether it's changing the environment for, you know, tax structure, whether it's working with them on recruiting them, on expanding their companies, on finding new locations. You know, we went from a point that we had, you know, we probably had more than a million. Well, I know we had more than a million square feet. We had 2 million square feet of available space in this community for industrial users. And there is almost none today because all of those have been filled. We can look at the Midlink facility where, you know, we went and recruited the company to become the master developer. We created the partnership with local government on that, and we've helped recruit the companies that are filling that facility that today is nearly full. And it's only nearly full because companies keep locating in it, loving the community, and then building new facilities. So they exit it, build a new building of their own, and we can recruit new companies into that. So we're not, the community in the region aren't where we want it to be yet, but we are sure going in the right direction. And when we look at success, and we mark ourselves against 14 regions around the country. And those are on our website if people would like to look. But we believe in data. So I guess 10 years ago, we got great news. I got a call from a reporter who said, hey, congratulations. Tomorrow, we're going to name the Kalamazoo area as the best economy in the state of Michigan. Matter of fact, you've had more GDP, gross domestic product growth, than all of the rest of the state combined previously. So I go to a group of leaders on my board and said, wow, this is really good news. We're, I guess this was 6 years ago, And it's really good news. And the response back was, how did we do against our peers? And I said, well, I told you that we're number one in the state. And they said, those aren't our peers. Those are our partners. How did we do against places around the country? And what we found was, as a region, we weren't doing as good as those places. So we hired the Upjohn Institute and said, tell us who our real peers are, and then tell us who our aspirational peers are. And so we came up with 14 regions that we mark ourselves against.
Across the country.
Across the country. And those that have major universities in them, and those that are on interstate highways, and those have populations kind of like ours. And so we measure against those twice a year based on the standardized data points. And we know before we had the best cabin on the Titanic, but everybody dies. I've seen that movie. And now we were third in job creation this past year against all of those peer organizations. And so we know that that this regional strategy is paying off. But there are things we're not doing as well as others. Our growth of millennials is less than our peer organizations, and it shouldn't be because of the level of college students we have. And we also know that we are not doing as good of a job as about half of those groups on diversity questions, about getting a diverse workforce and enabling families to move from poverty. Although in the last year, poverty went from 19% down to 16%, and I'm off by a point or two there. It's 19.1, I think, to 16.3. So we're seeing our poverty numbers dive, but we've got to do a better job of lifting people up into the middle class, particularly those in diverse populations in our community. They're not sharing in prosperity the way we need to, and so we got to focus on that.
I believe you said that this region is number three compared to peer regions in terms of job development. What did it used to be? So is that an improvement?
We were in the bottom 30% in those measures. So we went back and measured numbers for a decade.
Okay. So over the last decade, this
And
then upswing took place.
Yeah, we started a strategy now 5 years ago called the Transformation Agenda, where we became very focused on data points and very focused on comparisons to know, are the things we're doing making a difference? Are they, are we going in the right direction? So positive growth is important, but is it positive growth fast enough? Because if we're growing at, 2% a year and our competitors are growing at 10% a year, we will eventually starve to death. And what we know is we're picking up momentum faster than they're picking up momentum.
What are some specific goals that you would like to see? Since you say you like to measure things, what is it that you would like to see moving forward? Because you said that you're not quite where you want things to be.
Yeah, so jobs are important, but we've got to get wage levels up, and that's happening. We're seeing that. And after the downturn, we saw college-educated levels of wages rising and hiring, but we were slow on the traditional blue-collar, less-than-college education. We're now seeing that trend going in the opposite direction. We're seeing mass hirings, wages going up, in some cases 40% increases in manufacturing wages. And so we're feeling good about that. But we've got to do more. We've families for we have a lost decade. And I know we talk about that a lot in Michigan, but we don't talk about it enough. We lost progress. We have to grow significantly faster than everybody else just for our families to catch back up to where they were 20 years ago. So we've got to focus more on those things. The educational issues, if we all really believe that our number one crop, our number one product we produce, the most important thing we have in this region is our people, it means that we can't afford, as a community of humans, to allow anyone to be sentenced to underperformance. And, past isn't always indicative of the future, but I know my own past. My mother didn't know how to help me grow in the future. She hadn't seen those things. She hadn't experienced what great education meant. She hadn't experienced what it was like to get through college, so she couldn't help mentor me as much as she would have liked to. And we have a lot of folks in that world today in this community. So if we want to believe that people are our future, then those of us that are blessed have got to make sure that we're lifting people up, we're mentoring, we're spending our time, talent, and treasure around ensuring that our crop, if we were in the corn business, we would till the ground, we would fertilize the ground, we would water the crop, we would plant incredible seeds, and then we would harvest it. And we have to treat our world a lot like that and nurture those tender plants. So we've got to do a better job of that, and then this leadership strategy.
You mentioned that you would like to see an increase in wages. What is the answer to that?
Focus on ensuring companies can be profitable and operate in an environment of profitability. And that is somewhat on the cost of doing business, but it's also making sure that we're doing a great job on providing them the number one raw commodity they need, and that's great educated people. So it's working with places like Kalamazoo Valley Community College and Kellogg Community College and the others in the region to make sure that there's talking to business and we're training and growing people based on jobs 2 years from now, not 10 years ago. And it's about making sure that we're providing a sticky environment so that they have a choice of hiring people locally. We've had in the past where companies have had to start other locations because they couldn't get people to come to work for them here. I remember 5 or 6 years ago now sitting down with the company leader who said, well, I just had to put a location in Grand Rapids because I couldn't get people to come to work for us here. I just couldn't get enough talent. And I said, well, who are you hiring there? And he said, well, they're all Western graduates. But yeah, that's not his fault. That's our fault. We didn't create a sticky enough environment that those graduates stayed in this community. And we've got to do that. And that means working with lots of people because that's not a Southwest Michigan first thing. I can't create the hike and bike trails and the entertainment venues and the low cost of housing and the urban environments that those young millennials, those next leaders want, but I can work with the people who can to tell them how important it is and how it'll pay great dividends for them.
If you had to give an assessment right now of the economy, where are we now and where are we headed?
In
terms of Kalamazoo and Southwest Michigan in particular.
We're incredibly strong right now, but we're vulnerable. It's a bit like, I'm on a diet, but I'm always on a diet. But I know that I have to plan for the holiday season because I know it's going to challenge me in my diet. We know in the economy, we're very strong. Michigan is strong, but we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to the auto industry, which goes through cycles. We're vulnerable to the autonomous vehicle changes. If Michigan doesn't capture that autonomous vehicle, both design and manufacturing, we're going to see a continued loss of auto jobs, which, you know, in this community, we don't have an assembly plant, but we've got a whole lot of tier 1, 2, and 3 suppliers that service that. We know we're vulnerable to an aging population. We're older than all but one or two of our peer communities, and we're retaining fewer millennials than about half of our peer communities. You know, that's important because when we look at the management of companies in this region, about 50% of the people in management will be eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. When we look at blue-collar manufacturing, 30% of the workforce is eligible to retire in the next 5 years. So if we have a lot of risk and a lot of vulnerability, so we can't afford to let up. This next 5 years will be critical to the next 20 years' success.
Do you think that we have reinvented ourselves more than you would have expected? For example, some communities where there was a major employer or a major industry, when that went away, it became a ghost town. Do you still see us as being vibrant? Paper mills went down. You're talking about General Motors stamping plant. We lost those jobs. Are we rebounding enough? Are we creating new industries enough?
We're good, but we're not great. You know, I think if we look at the highlights of the last, let's call it a decade, you know, Dr. Dunn's work at Western Michigan University, a new medical school, a reinvented pride in the university, a new law school, one of the very few universities in the nation that has both law and medicine, and to add both of those in the last decade, the new construction that's gone on in campus, the revitalized energy around the university is incredible. We look at medical care. Both Bronson and Borges have done incredible things that are additive and accretive to our region. Life sciences continues to grow and morph. The growth at Stryker and Pfizer have just been unprecedented. And lots of small company growth, things like, you know, Shupan and Sons continues to just grow jobs and do incredible things. You know, we're averaging about 25 significant announcements of new jobs and growth in the region. You know, we're seeing Coldwater. You know, I've lost track, but I think it's about 3,000 new jobs coming to the Coldwater area in the next year and a half. So, you know, we continue to see American Axle grow in Three Rivers. But that's not enough. And so what we've got to do is know that if we want to be the place that we brag to our family and friends about at the holiday season, that we've got to continue to invest in it. Things like the Kalamazoo Promise. You know, clearly I'm fanboy when it comes to the Kalamazoo Promise and the leadership that Bob Jorth and Vaughn Washington are showing there. But we've got to do more as a community. We've still got students who aren't prepared. They may be prepared academically, but they're not prepared on those soft skills to be as successful as we need them to be, and because they're our future. And so as a community, we've got to step up. We've got to step up and deal with issues of poverty in our community. You know, the number's down this year, it's at 16%, but that's still too many. That's still too many kids who are going to school hungry. And I know that's one of those that people use because it gets, you know, it's for the children. But if you believe that people are the product we produce, then those kids are that young plant that we've got to nurture in the field. And so we've got to focus on that. If we want to be that place, if we want to be the place we're so proud of and the explosion downtown of new growth and great things, then we've got to continue to invest in it. We're just now seeing the payoff, of the hard work in the last 10 years. And, we talk about the beer business. We have to remember, Larry Bill started that 30 years ago. Began in that. And so overnight success looked like 25 years. And, the brewers today are building on the shoulders of the giants in our state, but we're nowhere near the top. I see projections that said if they can get hops, they can continue to make beer that people will buy.
Do you think there are some industries that we need to attract here in order to be the kind of place that you're envisioning?
Yeah, it's not so much an industry as it is a strategy. So design is critically important. When we look, and Western has just announced, Western, under Judy Bailey's leadership, had a design program that just wasn't working. And so Judy shut that program down when she was president. It was probably the right decision at the time. But we know for our future, for companies like Newell Brands, for companies like Fabri-Kal and Landscape Forms, they need a flow of designers to come out of Western who can design their next product. When we look at successful companies today, those companies have incredible design capacity. When we look at why Target has been so successful, it's because they design amazing products. So you'll see a great focus. We're adding in January a new staff role who's going to focus exclusively on design. 3 years ago when we began to work on this, I think—
Attracting employers in that area?
And bringing collaboration around it. So Newell Rubbermaid is a great example of an employer that just does design here. It's their design center. But we now know in this region, we've got about 100 companies that have design focus somewhere within them. So if you eat a carton of yogurt or an individual serving of cereal, that packaging was designed here and employs hundreds of people to manufacture that product here. We know if you look at West Michigan, including Grand Rapids, it's the third highest concentration of professional designers in the nation. And so design helps companies be stronger. Strong companies hire more people. More people take money home to their families, which changes communities. So you're going to see a lot of focus on design-based and design-focused both companies and individuals. And again, Western Michigan University has stepped up with a brand new design program that they're launching next year. And we're so excited about it.
You're saying that we're going to have a more greater design focus here in our area, you mean?
Absolutely.
Across the country?
In our area, because that's a strategic advantage that others don't have. And if you design a product here, then the odds of it being manufactured here are very high, at least until it becomes a commodity project, till they're making millions of it, and then it goes to a lower cost place, and we become the place that's always that high level of value added. We want to be the Boston or the Silicon Valley of design, and not just in one area. So Ann Arbor, that area focuses on design for auto. Ann Arbor, Oakland County, I think the last I heard is about 80% of all auto design is done in that area. We want to be that for consumer products, whether it's washing machines at Whirlpool or, dishwashers, or it's medical devices at Stryker, it's food packaging and new product and safety at Kellogg's. There's incredible opportunity for us in that area, and that's going to be a real focus for us, certainly in the next decade.
I did want to talk a little bit about Southwest Michigan First making the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, sure.
A division. And I believe that was in 2013.
Yes.
How's that going?
So the Chamber of Commerce is one of those names of things that people think they know what it means, but they all go, well, is that the state? Is that federal? Are you a franchise? So for us, we believe that growth of small business is critical to the growth of community. It isn't enough just to say, well, we're going to grow jobs. We need, whether it's service providers or retailers or the ability for the individual to start their own single-person company, there are a lot of capacity out there, but there wasn't a lot of focus around how to do that. So we were able to, because of a leadership change at the chamber, we were approached about aligning it with Southwest Michigan First. It's taken a while because chambers are one of those things that kind of lost their way. Nobody really knew what they were, and they were one of those things that everybody, you know, it's like the symphony. People say it's critically important to a community to have a symphony, but then they don't go to the symphony and spend money and see the performances. They just assume it will always be there and that they're not needed for it. And chambers somewhat became that as well. So we've spent the last 2.5 years or so really focusing on what do small businesses need? And in a lot of cases, we simply need to enable them to be in contact with the SCORE chapter, be in contact with small business lenders, be in contact with local government to remove barriers to growth. And so our job in a lot of cases is a concierge. It's a small business person comes to us with a problem, and it's our job to help them navigate how to get through that problem. In a lot of cases, it has to do with government. Mostly it's ignorance, not malice. So government folks, they want to do the right thing every day, but small business doesn't. They assume because their neighbor or the guy next door told them that, oh, the government will never help you, that that's true. And in most cases, it's not true. And we can help navigate through that. The licensing at the state is still very difficult. And so we work a lot of companies through that. We do a lot of matchmaking. So we have a matter of fact, we have an event this month in partnership with the Battle Creek Unlimited folks to help. I think last I heard, we have 18 companies with large purchasing departments that are going to be meeting with small businesses here in the region to see if they can sell more into those big companies. So if we can create trade, not aid, then we know that's what success looks like for small businesses. They're not coming with a handout. They just need a partner who can walk alongside and say, I can help you get more business. And if you get more business, you'll be more prosperous and you'll be able to take care of your family, take care of our community. And, you know, we always try to remind ourselves that, you know, Dr. Stryker started with one employee in the basement of Borges Hospital. And today, I've lost track of the tens of thousands of employees that Stryker has. So hopefully we're helping out that next Stryker Corporation, too.
I should have been more specific when I said Chamber of Commerce. I should have said the Kalamazoo Regional Chamber of Commerce, because there's a number of Chamber of Commerces. Has membership increased? I know that was a goal. I think in March 2014, you had a little over 800 members as part of the chamber. Has it grown since then?
It's fairly flat. Part of it is because we had a lot of people on the rolls who were from the not-for-profit and philanthropic community. And while they're very important, they're not our target audience. And we can't serve them the way we serve small business. So where they're welcome, it's not our focus. Our focus is on small business. We also know, even though jobs have come back and prosperity's come, it's tougher for small business, particularly retailers. It's brutal out there. And whether, you know, it's because of, you know, the Amazon effect of people, you know, not even looking locally for products and just ordering it online, or it's the people who have been more frugal with their money and so they're not eating out as much, or they're eating out as a lower level. So we've really focused on that service side as opposed to growth. And I think that's probably where we'll stay. A lot of chambers of commerce have these great big inflated numbers. That's not what we're about. We're about how do we service? If it was 100 companies that we had as members and we're serving them and they're doing great things, I can absolutely celebrate that. We don't want numbers to drive that success. It's impact and influence that drives that.
Do you have final thoughts?
Oh, I'm just so tickled to death to be here. I so love what this community is doing and its commitment to itself. We're seeing incredible leadership at the local government level. We have some men and women who have just so stepped up in a time where I feel a lot that our nation may be in a malaise of leadership. This region is, there are some men and women, particularly that millennial Gen X group, that I'm so excited about seeing what they're going to do. And I'm excited to see the incredible things that are going to happen in the next decade.
Mr. Kitchens, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for letting me be here.